It's Friday evening. It's later than we expected. Sam was stressed with work, bless him. But we're still going to get the podcast out for you because we want to answer your questions and we want to give a quick look ahead towards game week 14 and crucially talk about the newly announced doubles and blanks that are coming up at the end of January. So all of that's come on Midnight FPL. Sam, do you want to say hello to everyone?
Yeah, hi everyone. I've been a bit stressed over the last day, so I've got to apologise that this one's out a bit late. Been working hard like Solskjaer does for Woodward, but I'm hoping you guys are all well, really.
That's, yeah. Okay, Joel, do you want to top that?
There's no way I can top that, but hello to everyone that's listening. Hope things are going well for you guys.
Okay, cool. So we're going to get to some questions that have been sent in on our Twitter in a sec. But firstly, Joel, do you want to give a succinct summary of your game week 13?
Yeah, so just about got away with it this week. I got 49 points, which is 7 points over the average, and got all green arrows. So I'm quite happy about that, but it's kind of nothing to write home about, really. But honourable mention to Salah, Son, Lamptey, Chilwell, Calvert-Lewin were my non-blankers. And then De Bruyne captain. That two bonus points helped massively, but apart from that, pretty average week.
We could just repeat you saying a pretty average week and then just play it every single time. I probably suffice. Sam, how did you do?
I just thought I'd quickly comment on Joel. Well done for all those green arrows. Where does that put you on the overall rank now?
You're about 1,300,000 behind you guys.
That's a lot.
Give me a couple of weeks, haven't you?
I reckon, yeah. You're 112 behind Sam.
As they say, championship teams win when they're playing badly. This is a bad week for me, still 11 points above the average. And I'm pleased with it, really. I didn't make a good captain. Another example of me being out of form. Fernandez, yeah, not great. Kept in Son, had Che Adams, Calvert-Lewin, Ben White, Target, Martinez, all got points. I keep being criticised for taking this Villa double up on the defenders a couple of game weeks ago. I've got 4 clean sheets from it since I've done that. So yeah, pretty good. And I'm up to 18,000 from the overall rank, which isn't great for me considering my 1,440th historic overall rank, but it's still pretty good and I'm sure there's a lot people can learn from me.
You're a smug twat. And I actually got higher than you and that feels good. I benched Lamptey because I listened to your horrible repetitive Fulham rhetoric every single week and sort of bought into it, so I put him on my bench. And then I captain Fernandez, which was disappointing, but Son, Salah, my boy Keith Fowl, he keeps delivering the goods, and then Martinez and Chilwell got 5. But yeah, did very well, but in a poor game week, so the gains are only like 10 or so points on most other people, so there's nothing to write home about. And then going forward, I'm going to ask Joel what you're going to be doing this week.
I'm pretty happy with my team at the moment, to be honest. So I don't think anything drastic needs doing. I've got Justin at home to Tottenham, who I'm thinking of taking out for perhaps Dyer. I'm not kind of that bothered about having centre-backs in my defence, but Spurs look pretty solid at the back and have quite good fixtures coming up. So I'm thinking about him. I've also thought about Target or Koufal, but I think I'm leaning towards Dyer at the moment. But I think all of those three guys are quite good options at the moment.
I also might bring in a budget defender, but I'm leaning towards Charlie Taylor because he's only 4.4.
Burnley 4.4. Have
like, yeah, mate. And they have really good fixtures as well. They have Wolves at home, Leeds away, Sheffield United at home, Fulham at home. Game week 18, blank. Game week 19, a double game week. And if I free hit, we'll talk about this later in game week 18. And that means he's got a double in game week 19, albeit tough fixtures. So Charlie Taylor's going to be my man. Sam, what are your transfers?
I don't actually think I'm going to make any transfers. The only thing I would potentially do is bring in Salah again for De Bruyne, but I'm fed up.
Ooh, you didn't earn Salah this week. That's fun.
Well, I'm fed up with doing that because that'd be either third or fourth, can't remember, straight week where I've swapped them out for each other. And it's worked so far, apart from last week, Salah got more than De Bruyne, but I've just had enough of it. I just want to start restructuring my team a bit more instead of just changing those two players. It's quite one-dimensional. I just think people need to start biting the bullet and doing something different, because I think things are starting to change. De Bruyne is not getting as many points, neither Salah, neither Fernandes. I think Rashford is really worth a shout, so maybe save up for him. I also want to get rid of Adams, and shout out to Joe Tully, our friend Joe Tully, who's been talking about Bamford this whole time. I might do the same thing. Bit of Patrick Bamford. He scored the most goals, bar Son and Lewandowski, in all of Europe's top leagues from outfield play. So you can't really argue with that. So I might have to do that and bring in Rashford maybe next week.
Rashford has a good double game week as well. And thingy. So if you want, you could potentially, people might go for a United double up there. Fernandes and Rashford for a double game, it would be pretty stunning. I think I'm also thinking about Bamford, sadly. I really don't want to because it's been a sheep, but it probably has to be done. He's had the most shots on target in the box out of any player in the league as well, which is always a good omen. It means he's getting lots of chances. So, and they've got.
I think at this point he's not really giving us an option. I've kind of been very hesitant about getting him in, but he keeps on scoring and getting points because I'm kind of waiting for Leeds momentum to run out, but it's still not. And I think it's been long enough in the season for maybe this to carry on. So, I think it might be time for people who haven't got him in his team to get him in. He's still cheap as well. Like, he's still like 6.3, so I think it might be time.
Can I ask a consultancy from my two pals quickly?
Go for it.
If I go Chilwell to Taylor and then I have the budget to go Welbeck to Bamford, should I leave that 1 week because Welbeck's playing Sheffield United at home and Bamford's playing United away, and then I'd have 2 free transfers the next week, so I could just do it the week after?
Yeah, it's not worth a minus four.
It wouldn't be a minus four. I've got 2 free transfers.
Oh.
Is it worth doing?
I think you should definitely do it. Welbeck's terrible. He was terrible against Fulham. He's missed God knows how many like big chances. What is the point in having him an extra week? Not like he's like Fernandes or something. He's playing an easy team and he's pretty much a banker to get points. Danny Welbeck is like 5.5. Like attacker, like realistically, he's not going to do anything. You're going to thank me at the end of the week when he doesn't do anything. So I can tell you, he will not do anything.
That is on your head. Okay, that's fine because that transfers the burden to you if that goes wrong. I will do that because I think that I come out better out of that as a net gain, especially when I really aim Reece James.
Yeah, I think it makes sense. I if you got 2 free transfers, I think it makes sense.
Mm. Also, okay, enough of not wanting like Reece James to pick up a clean sheet because you've doubled up on Chilwell and James.
We shouldn't talk about our teams too much after criticism from an independent source that won't be named.
Should we run through our captains quickly?
Oh, I don't even want to go there. Too much of a headache. I suppose it's a fantasy podcast and that's all the thing we have to discuss. But
it's the same as last week. There are lots of good options and I have no idea who I'm going to choose. My only thought, because I initially thought Bruno, but then I can just imagine Bielsa outwitting Solskjaer.
Oh, come on. Solskjaer is manager of Man United. He's got an incredible lineup. Like, Marcelo Bielsa is like an overhyped South American who's like done okay at all the clubs he's gone to, barely ever won a trophy.
No,
like, he's barely.
Drop that out. You're so deluded.
How many trophies has he won? I think
none.
One.
But Solskjaer is rubbish. Solskjaer is so bad.
He's got like, look at Rashford. He genuinely looks like the makings of an English Ronaldo. Same with Greenwood. Like these players. And Fernandes, Martial playing well again because he got that goal. I guess he must have a bit of confidence now. Pogba's back in the team. No way.
Nah, come on, Sam. Come on. That's stupid. Like, Bielsa went toe-to-toe with Guardiola. You can say the same about his squad. Like, look at City's squad. Amazing. Bielsa went toe-to-toe.
We schooled them, though, at Stamford Bridge, to be fair.
I can imagine Bielsa taking it to United and them not knowing how to react and it being quite a tight tight game. Yeah, there might be a couple. I don't know. I'm not sure it's kind of as an easy fixture as everyone makes out to be.
Why is that relevant anyway, though? Because, like, I mean, Bielsa might well win, but can you actually see Man United not scoring against that Leeds defence? All we care about here, we don't care realistically about where Leeds or Man United come on the table. We care about how many points we're going to get on fantasy. And I cannot not see Man United getting at least a couple of goals against Leeds. They lost, when they win like 5-2. They won 4-3 against Fulham, winning like 4-1. Well, losing actually 4-1 to Palace, Leicester. They ship so many goals. Ship 4 against Liverpool, 5. The amount of goals they ship, Man United...
I agree with Sam. United will score, but the question is, will Fernandes score? Because after what he did to us yesterday, if they're playing whatever they're playing, if they're playing Greenwood, Rashford and Martial like they're doing, Fernandes seems to be quite a bit deeper and was sort of the pass before the pass or the assist rather than being on the end of things. So I've got less faith there.
But I don't know, it's still a big game. Like, Leeds United is a massive game if you go back in the history of the Prem. I think the players will be right well up for it. And I think for both managers, it's a huge game to try and win. So I think both teams will be going for it.
What does that mean?
Well, they're not going to sit back and Fernandes isn't going to be kind of like sitting back, holding off. He's going to be getting stuck in. He'll be up in the final third a lot of the game, I reckon. I don't know. I just have no idea. I have no idea. It's like you got Salah away to Palace, who I also think is a possible option. Son at home to Leicester is also another option. Kind of like spoilt for choice, and it's trying to work out which team is playing the opposition who's best at shutting up shop. And I just don't know who it's going to be.
You say you're spoilt for choice. I would say we're spoilt for, like, kind of good choices. I wouldn't say there's like any, like, I wouldn't be confident captaining any of, I wouldn't be surprised if any of them blank. Maybe I'm just scarred by this week, but
yeah, like this week, because you're right. I mean, Fernandes didn't look like he was going to score at any point or get an assist, really. It was Rashford who just looked so much more threatening going forward, even Martial. So you start to think, like, why do you have Fernandes for more money when Rashford just looks like he's just going to get in those positions the whole time, you know?
I don't know. That hasn't happened that many times this season.
I know.
Most games, Bruno's been the standout player. So,
give
it to Rashford this week. But I don't know if that's going to happen every week. So we'll just have to see.
There's something about Rashford's price that's just seducing me.
How many beers have you had, Sam?
I've actually had a few alcoholic seltzers.
But yeah, I don't know if we've offered any good advice, but I think captaincy is a hard pick, but I think there are some clear.
Yeah, we've offered fuck all. I mean, if I owned Harry Kane, I can definitely see Harry Kane scoring in that game against Leicester. But he does better at home, Son does better away. Well, I know that's true. I think Salah's a good option, but he's playing the early kickoff, and I don't like ever catching the early kickoff, but that always ends in tears. Then there's De Bruyne. City aren't playing well enough to justify that. I think it just comes down to Bruno. I mean, you can't just be put off by 1 week. He's a machine, and he's playing against a pretty bad defence. So.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I think, like, him blanking, but United winning is not necessarily a bad thing for Bruno. As long as they've got 3 points behind them and momentum, I think it's still possible for him to do well against Leeds. And on like a personal level, he might be annoyed that he didn't score and want to get on a score sheet this game or whatever. You don't know. So I think I'm leaning toward Bruno this week.
Okay, that's enough part one. I'll answer questions in part two. So this week, we actually got quite a few replies when we asked for questions, which was good. And we'll try to answer them the best we can. The first question we'll be going for is one from Cobber Queen, which is best chip strategy ahead for bonus game week, blank game week and double game week. If you have your wildcard still available, and if you don't, best way to tackle it. Joel. He's referring to doubles in game week 19 and the blanks before them in game week 18.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, there's enough game weeks in between now and then for you to like start thinking about it now. The one thing I would say is that if you are going to make any transfers, if you don't have your free hit, only bring in people that are playing in game week 18, because if you're bringing in players that don't have a game week 18 and you have already played your free hit, then you're just going to end up with no one to play. So it's something worth like bearing in mind with the people that you've are going to transfer in the next couple of weeks. But also the same thing applies, like if you haven't played your free hit and you're happy to play that game week 18, then maybe start thinking your free transfer every week, which of these players have double game weeks in game week 19. And then you can slowly start building up those players. And then when those weeks come around, you'll be kind of have like a quite a lot of depth in your team to kind of hopefully get quite a big haul. But I've still got my free hit, which I think I'm planning on using game week 18. And then game week 19, I think I'm just, when they're all the doubles, I think I'm just going to try and see what I've got going. And hopefully I have two free transfers or something. But it's definitely something worth bearing in mind for now.
So I agree with all of that. I would add that he asks, if you still have your wild card, if I still have my wild card, I would play that probably game week 16 or something, and then build a team. If you build a team for the double game week so that you can bench boost in that game week 19 and then take your free hit if you've still got it in game week 18, because you'll be in a rare position of a non-wild carder where you can build a genuine squad of 15 for game week 19, and then you can play a bench boost and you end up with 30 players playing that week, essentially, which you could have an absolutely massive haul.
Yeah.
And you'll have that luxury then if your squad is quite imbalanced or you're missing key, you will then get your another wild card in January. So I think that will be, but I'm not in that position, and neither are either of these two boys. But yeah, I think everything Joel said, I agree with. Sam?
I've just been looking at the games, and I'm always someone who likes sort of using all his chips right at the end of the season. That's basically what won me the league last year. So I had like the last seven game weeks, I used all my chips and got a shed load of points. And that's what I sort of wanted to do again. But when I look at it, that game week 18, the players you'd have like Calvert-Lewin for Everton, you'd have Son and Kane maybe for Tottenham. But like the rest, it's like, yeah, you wouldn't have an Arsenal player. If you're going to have a Palace player, you have like Zaha. Then like Man City players, no one knows who to bring in for Man City. So it's quite difficult to cover that week without doing something about it. So,
I mean, yeah, but I think it's virtually impossible, because you would have to end up restructuring your normal team so much to bring in players from teams that aren't reliable. That's why it's just so made for a free hit.
Yeah, I mean, it's really tough, because what I'd be tempted to do is maybe take a free hit in 18 and then wildcard 19.
Well, but then my point with that is that you can't do that. It means you won't be able to use a bench boost or a triple captain, because you can't use two chips in 1 week in game week 19. So if you have the luxury of that free wild card, you should do it in 16 so that your team's set up and ready for game week 19 so you can use your bench boost.
But that's something I really don't like. I really don't like the idea of using a wild card just to set up for 1 week where you get a few double game weeks. Because firstly, you can get a lot of players rested. Some players won't score, whatever, and it'll disappoint you. I want, when I use my wild card, to set it up for the best 15 players that I think will get the most points from there to the end of the season. Or
my point is, you get another one in January. So This is referring uniquely for people who still have it.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, then definitely, yeah, use your wild card for that, because you get another one in January. So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying, because we won't have our new January wild card. Doesn't come until game week 19, does it?
Yeah. But
I think.
Yeah.
I also think it's worth mentioning that if you have used your free hit already, there are some weeks in fantasy where you've just got to be like, this is going to be a bad game week.
And you just need Son or Kane, and then if you captain them, you can end up with a good week.
Yeah,
they're playing Villa away, so they could save you.
It's not worth kind of altering your team to such an extent that it's then detrimental to the next couple game weeks. And sometimes you're like, okay, game week 18 is going to be bad, but I'm fully accepting of that, but I'll be able to bounce back game week 19. Sometimes that's going to be the case. So I think that might not be the end of the world for some people, but it'll be pretty tough, but just have to see what happens.
Okay, cool. I think we covered that question enough, but it's a real thinker. Next one is from Laz FPL. He says, Son has been nothing short of phenomenal this season. How long can this go on? He looks like a viable switch to Salah for me, but ownership scares the hell out of me. How much does player ownership have on your transfer decisions? That's a good question. Sam, do you want to take it?
No, I've got to think about it.
Joel, do you want to take it?
Yeah, so...
You're a quick thinker.
Yeah, no. I've been speaking to Laz a bit, actually, and... we've been kind of having a bit of back and forth about our teams. But I think he raises a very valid point. Firstly, I think Son is a must have, and if you don't have him, you have to have Kane. I'm not sure I'd take him out of my team at this point, because I think he's doing well. Spurs have got really good fixtures coming up. Yeah, they don't have a double game week, but I still think he's definitely worth having. And also saying that, players have high ownership for a reason, and sometimes you have to follow what other people do, just because the one time when Son scores a hat-trick and you don't have him, you're going to be screwed. So I think you've got to go with the trend sometimes. But yeah, I would keep hold of Son for now.
Yes, yeah, Son, he's saying you bring him in for Salah, and I would say, I don't know what his team is. I wouldn't be selling Salah at this stage. Like, not a chance, especially with Jota out. He's not going to get rotated much. They play Palace, then they play West Brom at home, Newcastle away, Southampton away, blank, hopefully free hit, then double Man U Burnley. I mean, that is we will have Mo Salah for years, and he just won't let us down there, touch wood. But if you can get Son in, do it elsewhere. Try and take money out of defence, take it out of striker, because he is only... Well, he's still not even over 10 now, is he? Which is just a bargain with the amount he's returns. So, yeah, he's a no-brainer. And don't think about the double game week. This is the thing to refer to Cobber Queen's earlier question. Like, don't overthink it too much with a double game week. Just don't end up without someone like Son when they play Leeds at home or whatever in game week 16, because he will hopefully haul there. Well, not hopefully. I hope Tottenham lose there, but fantasy-wise. Sam?
I sort of had a lot to say about this, but I'll just keep it brief because it feels like we've reached a natural end. But basically, just don't bring him out. I've had him the whole season, good rewards. He's not like Calvert-Lewin. He's annoying to own because he gets like 5 points every week, so you sort of got to have him, but you're not really enjoying having him. Son's got like a 9 week, he's got 13, he's got 10, he's got 11, he's got 13, 18, 24. Like, he's getting these big weeks, you can't afford not to have him in there. And also
against big clubs as well.
One last thing. I don't think you should think about, just to answer the question, I don't think you think about Son being a replacement for Salah or vice versa, because they're completely different price brackets. If you're going to think about replacements for Son, think about Rashford or whatever. I still don't think that would be the right thing to do, but I just think for Salah, if you want to swap him out, think about swapping him out for De Bruyne or Fernandes, and that's their price bracket. Son's not there yet, which makes him another great option. But yeah, I don't think you need to be thinking about Salah or Son at all.
The FPL Don says, do you think FPL Mane will turn it around soon? So will Mane turn it around soon? Dude's a baller and is posting great underlying stats. He hasn't scored in a month or two. also who has the best hair in the Prem, my money's on Giroud. Mane, I'll say, yeah, he's bound to. Mane's really good. He didn't just turn a bad player overnight.
But it's the game, isn't it? Like, just don't bring anyone in until they start, until they
score
goals. There's no point thinking about, like, are they going to get good? Are they not? Like, shall I anticipate them getting good? Just don't do that. When they get good, bring them in. And if they don't, just never bring them in.
I think that's not a bad point, to be fair. And I also think when Salah and Mane, I know Salah's now a bit more expensive, but if you've got Mane in your team, you're better off having Salah, surely. Like, we all, there's no question Mane's a bad footballer. He's right up there, but Salah's getting all the points at the moment. So I think if you've got the option of Salah or Mane, just go for Salah every day of the week.
Yeah, exactly. No question. P.S. My money's on Rashford.
You brought up Rashford so much this episode. Can't wait for him to blank. Is it best?
I think for his hair.
It's like thick, like pointy at the back.
What about Ben Chilwell and his little? I always think.
Oh, mate, he just put so much product in his hair. It's like
it just looks so cute. Joke.
His hairline's receding a bit too much to pull it off.
It's not as bad as someone we both know. Marcus Alonso.
Best hair.
Best hair.
He's got a lot of it, to be fair.
I actually can't think. He says Giroud, which is always a good option. I don't know whether Giroud's hair is that good or if he's just not just generally gorgeous.
Well,
you know whose hair actually really annoys me is Harry Kane's.
I think he's got good hair.
I don't like it.
There's something about it I find really annoying. I don't know. It just really winds me up.
There used to be more interesting ones. Does anyone remember that Middlesbrough centre mid who had the bleach blonde hair? It's like Javier or something. He used to have good hair.
No. Yeah, but doesn't Benrahma has bleach blonde hair, but it looks awful. It just like, I don't know, it just looks rubbish.
A throwback one is Didier Alcisse.
Yeah, great? Class. Louis Zaha as well always had good hair.
Let's call him Louis Zaha. Louis Zaha.
Yeah, whatever. You know, I can't pronounce anyone's name correctly.
Shamak used to have a great lid as well. All right, I think that's gone on too long. Could be a Salah Island. What are we making of Antonio and our City assets worth dumping off now? So we kind of, bar KDB, definitely dead. Yeah.
I wouldn't even have any City defenders, to be honest.
Because the ones you get forward don't play every
week. Yeah, exactly. He's verging on too expensive at the moment. It's a bit of a risk, but I'm tempted to say you could get away without having any City players until their form picks up considerably. But
I don't know what Sam thinks about this, but I think Antonio is off the radar at the moment, but game week 19. I think they've got Burnley at home,
and West Brom at home.
And West Brom at home. So if he's fit, he's in my team for that week. End of. Just no.
I agree. Fit, yeah. I was going to say exactly the same thing. I like Antonio a lot, and I like the way he plays. Yeah. I think he's class. And once his injuries heal up a bit, and he gets a run of fixtures, I think he'd be good.
Yeah, I love. I absolutely love Antonio as well. Definitely worth having when he's playing, when he's fit, and well, obviously when he's playing well. Also, City, there's no one in that City team that I really want that much. There's De Bruyne, and I've landed on him, and I can't really afford to just start switching him out every week. So I'm going to stick with him, sort of like resentfully. But yeah, there's no one I really want. Diaz scores an own goal. It's pretty unattractive, really, at the moment.
Yeah, I agree. Also, the thing I think about Antonio is he's around the 6.0-ish.
Bamford, Wilson, Adams, price, yeah.
So if you're thinking of someone who's that kind of price range that less people have, he might be a good option going forward.
Get him in for Calvert-Lewin before game week 19 would be my tip.
Yeah.
Next one, this is just like a FPL My Way says JWP, James Ward-Prowse, and Vardy out for Son and DCL. And if I didn't own DCL, I wouldn't be rushing to bring him in if I haven't owned him all this time. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm so bored of Dominic Calvert-Lewin. I just want, I want to get him out. There's no circumstance which I'd like advise someone to bring him in, because he's just restricting the potential of the rest of my squad. I just keep looking at 60% ownership and thinking there's no way I can go against that coin just in case he does have a good week. But I wouldn't bring him in, and I do want to get him out. So yeah, and James Ward-Prowse, he's a good player. He does take those penalties. I think Danny Ings actually takes penalties when he's playing. So maybe a good time to take him out. And he's only going to get so many free kicks, isn't he? So I would make that change, to be honest. So quality as well.
But you might go, if he doesn't own Bamford, you might go for get more funds elsewhere and go for Son and Bamford, maybe.
Yeah, again.
Yeah, perhaps actually.
Yeah, I can't say anything against Bamford given his record this season.
Ooh, an interesting question from FPL Jack. With Big Sam in the fold, are West Brom defenders worth considering?
No.
He's got the
same play.
The track record speaks for itself.
Yeah, okay, I agree. I understand the track record. And the fact is, he's only taken over from four clubs mid-season that were struggling and kept them up. And they were Blackburn, Newcastle, Sunderland, and I think Crystal Palace. So, you know, it's not like a Neil Warnock record with getting promoted. It's not like he's done it like eight times or something.
It's Everton, isn't it?
Oh yeah, yeah, it was Everton. It was Everton as one of them. You're right, but they were only 13th when he took over. So I think that's a little bit of a cheat one. That I think they're always going to stay up. They're Everton. They've never been relegated from the Premier League, and they had a great, well, not a great squad, but definitely a good enough one to stay up. So I don't really count that. So basically, he's only had three, and three times you can have one out of four times where you don't do that. West Brom aren't a good team. And I think Slaven Bilic was actually doing a great job with them. And I think it's almost disrespectful to assume that Allardyce is that much better than Slaven Bilic.
But in regards to the question that was asked, if you're looking for cheap defenders that perhaps have the potential to get a clean sheet here and there, like West Brom defenders are 4.4, 4.5, they might be worth bringing in if, like, I've got like someone like Jamal Lewis who's rubbish, but I could think about taking him out for a West Brom defender.
Yeah, set-piece orientated team as well.
Yeah.
But this, so you always think, this is the principle of fantasy again that I keep talking about. Like, bring them in when they start doing something. Don't just start like speculating, oh, okay, Allardyce is in, let's bring him in now. Or Mane's got to get good at some point, he'll do it now, let's bring him in now. Mane might get good in 5 weeks, or Allardyce's teams might start getting clean sheets in 5 or 6 weeks. You're going to go through 5 or 6 weeks of them getting nothing for them to get something then. Why not just wait until they start showing you something that you can have faith in?
Yeah, but I think it's something worth bearing in mind at the moment.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough.
It pays off to be ahead of the trend in fantasy a lot as well, because I know it's a bit risky, but if you get something right first off, then kind of quite a high reward. So okay.
I've got a good question then. Louis, do you feel like because Allardyce is now the West Brom manager, you're in any way sort of thinking, oh, maybe not Charlie Taylor, maybe a cheap West Brom defender instead? In other words, do you think West Brom are going to get more clean sheets than 17th place Burnley?
Nah, it's what you're saying, that like, they might do, but you'll be able to tell in a couple of games whether that trend's going to occur. And if you're like fortunate enough to be where me and Sam are, you don't need to be chasing, then I don't think you need to take that punt, especially with a defender where like the gains aren't that high. But it's just one to keep an eye out on in the way you wouldn't if Bilic was still manager. I don't know. Right, that was short and sweet and not too much fun, but hopefully we answered your questions to a reasonable standard. It was all quite rushed, to be honest, but we'll be back again Monday or Tuesday to record and review game week 14 and have a look ahead to game week 15. See you guys there.